Our first reading for tonight will come from the Gospel of John. We'll be reading from the 13th chapter of John's Gospel. And I will read verses 1 through 17, and then we will skip over and read verses 31 through 35. At this time, let us listen to God's word for us. Now, before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" And Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason, he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet, had put on his robe, and had returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example, that you also should do as I have done. Verily, verily, I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." Verse 31, when he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me. And as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Word of the Lord. Our second scripture reading for tonight will come from Paul's first letter to the church at Corinth. We'll be reading from chapter 11, verses 23 through 26. It is found on page 998 of your pew Bibles. So again, let us listen to God's word for us. "For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And in the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again.'" And I'm going to extend that reading through verse 32. "Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be answerable for the body and blood of the Lord. Examine yourselves, and only then eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For all who eat and drink without discerning the body eat and drink judgment against themselves. For this reason, many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined, so that we may not be condemned along with the world. It's the word of the Lord. Eternal God, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable to you. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We are reminded tonight that the first Maundy Thursday was centered around a meal, the Passover meal that we've come to call the Last Supper of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ before his betrayal and crucifixion at the hands of the Jewish authorities and the Roman authorities. Jesus doesn't eat this meal alone. His disciples are with him. All of them, we imagine, are there. Thomas is there, one of the twins. He's from the same place that I'm from. He's from Missouri, if you know Thomas. He is the one who won't believe anything until he can see it and touch it. But he is there. Peter is there, too, bold and impetuous, always quick to speak and quick to act before he thinks. Mary, I believe, is there. The text doesn't tell us that, and Mary never shows up in any of the paintings of the Lord's Supper. But Mary Magdalene is one of Jesus's most loyal disciples, and it's hard for me to imagine that she would have missed that supper, so I believe that Mary Magdalene was there. And of course, Judas Iscariot was there as well, the one who would betray Jesus. Judas is conflicted in his heart. He is attracted to Jesus. He wants to be a part of the God movement that Jesus has initiated. But Judas isn't quite sure that Jesus measures up to be the kind of Messiah that Judas wants him to be. But right now, they are all around the table together because that is what they are first and foremost. They are a community that have been brought together by the Lord Jesus Christ. As part of the supper, we know that Jesus will break bread and will pour wine, a sign of his broken body and shed blood for the sake of the world. And then he'll do something unprecedented, as we read. He, the Master, will wash their feet, and he will give them a new commandment. This is my commandment, he says, that you love one another, that the character of your life together reflect the self-giving love and the sacrifice that I am about to make on behalf of the whole world. Notice Jesus doesn't say that everyone will know that you belong to me because of the things that you believe. Even the devil believes. He doesn't say that you will be, they will know that you are my disciples because you pray before football games or you pray in school, though prayer is always a good idea. He doesn't say that people will know that you belong to me because you are nice, decent people, though all of us, I hope, would be nice, decent people. He says that they will know that you belong to me because you are a community that is rooted and grounded and shaped by the self-giving love of my sacrifice. Every Maundy Thursday, it is the custom of churches everywhere to commemorate that first Maundy Thursday by observing the Lord's Supper. And that's a good thing, of course. But the Apostle Paul in the epistle reading that we heard tonight tells us to be careful about how we approach the table. He tells us to examine ourselves to determine whether we approach the table in a worthy manner. And what Paul is concerned about is not all of our individual faults and shortcomings. If that were the case, none of us would be worthy to partake of the meal. What Paul is concerned about is the nature and character of our common life, the nature and the character of our community. Paul tells us to discern the body. That's Paul's favorite metaphor for the community of God's people, the body of Christ. We are the hands and the feet and the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. The same Spirit that was in Christ Jesus is also among us. It is also pulsating through our community. And Paul says that before you come eating and drinking at this table, to make sure that you discern the body. Make sure you discern what kind of shape the community is in. What are the stories, he says, and the values that are being lived out before the rest of the world? Are they the values and the stories of this world? We know what this world looks like. It is a world of strife, division, competition, self-seeking, betrayal, anger. Paul says, are those the values that you are living out before the rest of the world? Make sure that you discern the body. Make sure that you examine yourself before you come to the table. The values that we are called to have as the body of Christ are the values of Maundy Thursday. It's the value of unity and service and sacrifice and love. Examine yourselves, says Paul. Discern the body to determine whether you come to this table and are able to eat and drink in a worthy manner. The fact is that all of us come to this table shaped and formed by all kinds of social and cultural influences that often mitigate against Maundy Thursday identities. Tonight I want to mention just a couple of them, a couple of the values and the cultural influences that the world has on us that we need to examine ourselves and analyze ourselves on when we come to this table. The first is the rampant consumerism in our society. As Americans, we are told in 1,001 ways that we derive our identities by what we consume. We are often told that we can be born again, that we can be transformed if we just consume the right kind of products, if we just avail ourselves of the right goods and services that the marketplace has to offer. We don't so much consume goods as we consume the meanings of goods that are derived from advertising and marketing. We purchase and consume self-images that are centered in competition and self-promotion. But Maundy Thursday reminds us that our identity is derived not from the goods and services that we consume, rather it is derived from our willingness to serve one another in the way that Christ served his disciples by washing their feet. Paul says that before you come to this table, before you come to the Lord's table, make sure you discern the body. Make sure you examine yourself. Make sure that you don't come to the table consumed by a spirit of consumerism. The second cultural influence that I want to lift up tonight is that of individualism, the kind of individualism that leads us to self-seeking without any regard to our neighbor. That's what upset Paul so much about the Corinthian church. You see, apparently the Lord's Supper was a part of a larger supper that was had in the church, a supper where people came together and ate and drank for the better part of the day. But unfortunately, those who were better off, who could come to the supper early and avail themselves of food and drink, did so without regard to those who had to come late in the evening because they had to work. And so when those who were less fortunate got to the supper, most of the food and drink was gone. And Paul reminds that early Corinthian community that the values that they have bought to the supper are not the values of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul tells them the tradition that was passed down to him. He tells them that the Lord Jesus Christ, on the night that he was arrested and betrayed, broke bread, and he said, "This is my body broken for you." And in the same manner, he also took the cup and he said, "This cup is the new covenant of my blood poured out for you." In other words, Paul is saying that the character and the nature of this supper and the character and the nature of the Lord Jesus Christ is the character and nature of self-giving. And that's the same spirit, the same character, the same nature that ought to permeate throughout the community. We are called to be a community. It isn't involved in self-seeking, but we are called to be a community that models our behavior on the self-giving love of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. A couple of nights ago, I went to see an interesting movie called Men of God. It was an Italian film based on the true story of a French monastery in Algeria in the late 1980s. That was caught up in the middle of the civil war between the Algerian government and Islamic insurgents. And one of the tactics of the Islamic insurgents was to target foreigners in the country in order to promote fear and force all foreigners to leave in order to disrupt everyday life and to help bring down the government. Knowing that their lives were in danger, the men of the monastery had to make a decision. They could seek their own safety and leave the Algerian monastery for another location, or they could continue to bear witness to the Lord Jesus Christ by continuing their much-needed work among the poor, often providing the only medical care and medical supplies that were available in the country, in that region of the country. It wasn't that they were actually serving the poor from some privileged position, but they actually were the poor. They had taken a vow of poverty. And they had decided that they would be just as vulnerable as the rest of the community in which they had become a part of. But one of the most powerful parts of the movie was the scene after which all the men in the monastery elected to stay and face the danger together rather than to leave the monastery altogether. And they decided to celebrate. At dinner that evening, they shared two bottles of wine that had been passed around, one from another. And the atmosphere was one of warmth and festivity. And suddenly, one by one, the expression of each man began to change from the warm gaiety to pensive reflection as they all realized that this night may indeed be their last supper. Paul says, examine yourself and discern the body. Maundy Thursday reminds us that we are called to be a different kind of community. It reminds us that we are called to live out a different kind of story and have a different set of values than the values of the world. We're reminded that how we come to the table, how we come to the meal, how we sit down to eat is often reflective of our understanding of reality. In the ancient world, the table often reflected the reality, the social realities in which people lived, who we sit down to eat with and who we break bread with is often reflective of who we sit down with in society in general. And Paul says, make sure that when you come to the Lord's table, that you don't bring the baggage of the world with you. When you come to the table of the Lord, when you come to the table that the Lord has prepared, when you come to the table, the self-giving love of God, make sure that you don't carry all that baggage out there in the world. Don't bring your divisions with you. Don't bring your hatred with you. Don't bring your anger with you. Don't bring your strife with you. Don't bring your unforgiveness with you. But when you come to the Lord's table, examine your hearts. Examine yourself. Discern the body. Because whoever eats and drinks of the blood and the bread of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in an unworthy manner eats and drinks damnation to themselves and to the community. Discern what kind of community you are supposed to be as modeled in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. 30 years ago, when I was a young man in the Army, I took a trip to Rome with the University of Maryland. It was a class, a 10-day class, and we had the opportunity to go visit some of the early churches and early basilicas. And one of the things that I was impressed by was the arrangement of space in many of those churches, some of them large, grand churches, some of them smaller, but the arrangement of space was quite interesting because in almost all of those churches, there was an altar that occupied the center space of those churches. And our guide, who was also the professor, told us that under some of those altars were relics, the relics of saints and other important artifacts of the church. But they were important enough to be placed in a center location in the church so that everyone would know that they were there. As you can see in this church, we don't have an altar. What we have is a table. And as you can see, that table occupies the central space in this sanctuary. It's not the pulpit that occupies the central space where we expound on the word, but it is the table. It is the table reminding us that we are a family. It is the table reminding us that we are called to be a different kind of community. The Lord's Supper that was practiced on that first Maundy Thursday is about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's about the sacrifice that he made. But it's also about us. It's about you, and it's about me. It's about who we are. It's about who we are called to be. It's about the values that we are called to live out. And it's about the community that we are called to live into. We are the body of Christ. We are the hands and the eyes and the ears and the heart of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we have been called to a whole new reality and to reflect that reality out into the world. We are called to reflect that at the very heart of the universe is a loving God, the God who wants us to live out his will and his heart in the midst of this world. What happens on this night about a God who washes the feet of his disciples and a God who tells them to love one another seems terribly incredible to our world. We live in a world that doesn't believe in self-giving service. We live in a world that doesn't believe in self-giving love. We live in a world that tells us that we are to be in competition with one another. We live in a world that tells us that the character and nature of reality is strife and division. But when we come here, when we sit at this table, when we have our hearts conditioned by this story, we enter into a whole new reality, the reality of God's love for each and every one of us, the reality of God's kingdom that is even now spreading throughout this world. We are called to open our hearts and open our minds through the Holy Spirit, as the Spirit helps us to proclaim the kingdom, not simply by what we say, but by how we live as God's beloved community. Our last scripture reading will again come from the Gospel of John. We'll read verse 21 through verse 30 of chapter 13. Again, let us listen to God's word for us. After saying that Jesus was troubled in spirit and declared, "Very, very, very truly, I tell you, one of you will betray me," the disciples looked at one another, uncertain of whom he was speaking. One of his disciples, the one whom Jesus loved, was reclining next to him. Simon Peter, therefore, motioned to him to ask Jesus of whom he was speaking. So while reclining next to Jesus, he asked him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus answered, It is the one to whom I give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish. So when he had dipped the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas, son of Simon Iscariot. And after he received the piece of bread, Satan entered into him. And Jesus said to him, "Do quickly what you are going to do." Now no one at the table knew why he said this to him. Some thought that because Judas had the common purse, Jesus was telling him, "Buy what we need for the festival," or that he should give something to the poor. So after receiving the piece of bread, he immediately went out, and it was night.